This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Day four, this final day of Magic Live here in Las Vegas. Golly, the days are starting to run together, and nights as well. What little sleep that we do get. But the first show that I saw here this morning, and the general session was over, again hosted by Julie Eng and Jonathan Levitt, did a great job. A lot of great people who were speakers. Now, I don't know, and I'm here also, right now with John Stetson. Hey there, John.
Hey, Scott, how are you?
Fantastic, thank you. And now, did you hear the general session this morning? Or
I'm going this afternoon.
Okay.
But I know that Ray Anderson is on.
Yes.
And he is, for people who don't know Ray, he is just Magic's best-kept secret. That Esther's Folly show in Austin, if you're within 1,000 miles of that place, you have to go see that show.
Well, you know, you give me goosebumps just bringing that up, because I have always said that Ray is my favorite magician. You know, people say, who? You know, because he is the best-kept secret. And I'm serious about that. That guy does it all. He is hilarious, and he's solid. Every show, I mean, I've seen a show 20 times probably, you know, being in Houston. And I'm glad you mentioned that. People should go and see that.
Yeah, he's just remarkable. The venue is incredible. What he has done with that space should be an inspiration to anyone who basically wants to do anything.
Yeah, that's true. You know, one of the things, too, that he talks about is doing big illusions. I mean, like Eclipse. I mean, it's like, what, 150-seat theater, and he's doing these huge illusions, you know, a water suspension, literally like 10 feet. I mean, well, the audience can actually put their feet on the stage. I mean, they're that close.
The most amazing thing is where all that stuff comes from, where all the illusions come from. I mean, it does not look possible for those things to physically be in that space.
Well, yeah, when you stop and think at the stage, is like 20 feet wide, 12 feet deep, and then where all these things slide along the back, it's kind of, that's part of the illusion, I think, is how that they will efficiently get all these illusions in and out. It's kind of like, of course, you've seen Le Grand David show.
Yes.
And similarly, it's like, where are all those things?
Well, you know who was the best at that ever was Ricciardi. Ricciardi could perform illusions on the large stage, but separating the men from the boys, it's when you can do it on a small stage and have it, well, especially look the way Ricciardi did.
Did you ever see Ricciardi?
Many times.
Did you really?
Many times.
Man.
And he was the greatest. In my opinion, he is the greatest illusionist of all.
Well, that's what Cesario would have said, I'm
hands
sure.
Hands down.
Going this way. Yeah, we're kind of wandering about here in the elevator also as we're going. And so, other things. Well, like you say, you're going to hear him this afternoon. I guess you saw the 49 lock boxes, the Thayer illusion thing.
Oh, that stuff was incredible.
That was. People were saying that was a one of the highlights, and I have to say it's one of mine, too. The close-up show was fantastic also.
Haven't seen it yet.
Okay.
So, you know, you come here and you see so many friends. When I speak to someone for 30 seconds or 2 minutes, I always say, you know, in Magic Live years, we've just had a three-hour lunch. Because you see everybody everywhere you go, you step in, you bump into a great friend who you have a history with, a story with, or someone you want to be with. Oh, look at those kids screaming at me, running down the hall. I can't go anywhere these days.
They recognize you.
Oh,
they're coming wanting an autograph. That's right. Well, listen, thank you very much, John. I appreciate your comments over here, and glad you like the convention as well. And
as always, it's the best.
Yeah. And so we'll go along and chat with somebody else here a little bit later. But for now, that was John Stetson.
All right.
This is Scotty out. All right. Well, we are now walking up to one of the focus sessions, having finished the general session this morning. And as we're walking, I've got Lance Rich with me. Hey there, Lance.
How are you, Scott?
Fantastic.
Good.
So you saw this morning's general session?
Yes, I did.
And?
Yeah. I enjoyed it.
What was an outstanding memory there?
Well, I enjoyed listening to Homer Lee Wag. He's a creative guy. And I definitely...
Co-director with David Copperfield.
That's right. Yeah, and designer and among cinematographer, among a number of things. I also enjoyed listening to Ray Anderson, who is a friend of mine, so I guess, you know, I'm kind of biased.
Boy, but, so am I.
Yeah,
he's
I know.
My favorite magician.
I know. I've heard you say that several times. He is a phenomenal performer. It's a great show. I mean, we were just talking at lunch about trying to convince a couple of people, it's like you gotta come see this show. It's like nothing you've seen before, and probably we'll see again.
Well, I mean, you may not see again because he didn't talk about it there, but I'll tell the listeners, he told me, I think, that after another three, no more than 5 years, they're going to shut it down. They're not going to sell it because there's nobody they think that
can
really
do it
the
same way,
and they're done.
That's so too bad, yeah. If anybody listening here, it's just the most incredible show. I mean, Austin's a cool town, too, just to visit.
It is.
But, gosh, it's a...
Hey, Danny. Danny Garcia.
Hey, say hello.
What's happening?
What else? The locker room or the lock boxes and all that. What else comes to mind that you really enjoyed?
Of the convention as a whole?
Yeah. It was kind of standing out. Here we are on the fourth day, and we've had most of the activities.
The 49 boxes I enjoyed a lot. I marvel at the ingenuity that it took to put together this all these puzzles because so there are 19 locks, so 19 I guess tables for people to sit at, and each table probably has
had about six these boxes per table or something.
That's true yeah, in order to get to the one thing, it's pretty incredible.
But you didn't know what it was that was needed, and you may have needed a box that was on someone else's table.
That's right.
So really, the whole puzzle was trying to interact with everybody else in the whole room, and then trying to get the boxes to open, and then go find out how to which of the 19 keys or locks the key was supposed to be for and everything.
It was a great experience. I've enjoyed the close up show was very good. John Archer is very funny. Opening night show was good. I saw some. I've never seen Levent perform before. I enjoyed him a great deal.
Yep.
Actually, there were several people on the.
But those are things just immediately popped.
Yeah, there were
mind.
Several people on that show that I had not seen before. Several people in the close-up show I had not seen before. Looking forward to tonight's show,
whatever
it's going to be. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, the same way with you.
Right. Haven't bought anything yet, but I want to see a couple of things before
I'm heading to the dealer's room as you're heading. Which focus group are you going to
see? Right now I'm going to Yuho Jin's, the rehearsal process. I see the sign for it right there, the rehearsal process. So I certainly respect him and respect his talents. And so
because he's one of the guys who's working with the Illusionists.
That's correct,
And he was in the close-up show the other night then, too. I think he opened up the show.
He did. Mm-hmm. But then, his stage act is phenomenal.
I've only seen him do close-up.
Oh, no, his stage act. I mean, that's what he does in The Illusionist.
I was thinking he was doing all this, the card stuff, too. But I guess I'd forgotten him doing The Illusions.
I think, when I saw The Illusionist, it was not him. It was Anha Lim. But I know he's with The Illusionist as well as the manipulator. But, he does. He's a FISM-winning stage act.
Okay.
Beautiful. He was here. You were here two or three Magic Lives ago. He was on stage in the main session there. Yeah.
Sometimes the Magic Lives kind of
blend together. Yeah.
Blend together.
Beautiful.
I forget which year it was too.
He starts with a card. Holding.
Oh, and it changes colors, and then it kind of goes to snowflakes
and
something.
It slowly fades away into nothing.
I remember. That's the guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was so amazing. Yes,
yeah,
I do remember that.
Yeah, he's incredible. He's incredible. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think of, we presented a workshop
That's right.
A workshop on the workshop yesterday, and that was great.
David Sandy's workshop. Which is going to be when?
It's November 8th through 11th in St. Joseph, Missouri.
Mm-hmm. Where you can go get information on that is?
Ring129workshop.com.
Okay.
So yesterday was kind of a little preview of that. It was like we did some hands-on learning sessions, which is a component of this workshop, with Christopher Hart actually teaching something. And then the second portion was this critique session, feedback session. Trig Watson performed an act. Trig is working cruise ships. I mean, he's a professional guy.
Sure.
But he was workshopping something that's not, polished yet.
Yes.
And so he did it four times yesterday, and each time had a different panel of people that could talk to
critique
him about
him
it.
A
yeah,
little bit.
Yeah. And so we do that at the workshop as well.
So that's pretty bold for someone who is a professional. So
to allow themselves to
be open like that.
Yeah, wear their I was going to say hard on the sleeve. I don't know if that's the appropriate expression there, but it works, to wear their career on their sleeve.
Right.
That way.
Right. Focus groups that way. There we go. Giving directions here as well. Lance, thank you very much.
Thanks so much, John.
Okay. 1 second. So that for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Lance Rich. This is Scotty out. right. Well, right now the general sessions and the focus sessions are going on, which means that the dealer's room is, it's not dead. I mean, there's still a lot of people here, but I can at least see from one end to the other. And who I see then right now is my friend Kerry Pollack. Hi there, Kerry.
Hi, it's good to see you again.
And you as well. Glad we see each other from year to year.
Yeah, you know, it seems like we just did this minutes ago, not last year.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, I think it's one of the advantages of this convention. We get a chance to kind of see each other, you know, that people you don't see in a while.
Right.
I was just talking to John Stetson. It's kind of like, you know, that you may not see each other. Sometimes they might miss a convention, but when you do see somebody, you pick it up. It's like you just saw them 5 minutes ago.
Yeah,
you know,
that's the beauty of this community and the conventions. But the thing I love about this convention and most conventions, the same thing I hate about it, you're seeing too many of your friends that you haven't seen so long.
Hey,
so
hey,
that's
there.
The great part. Yeah. And then you get to like 30 seconds on average, you know, and then you see someone, I see someone, and the next thing you know, we're gone again, you know.
Yep.
But it's still great to see
everybody. I'm glad you're here because you said that you were not working your club. You got Dave Kaplan working
Kaplan's working it this week. And then I'll be home Friday night, and then we're going to split the time. I have someone opening for him now. And then we'll split the time for the weekend. And Dave's a good buddy from 30 years ago. I love that guy.
So, and he must love you also to be doing that instead of here, because I know he'd like to be at Magic Live
also. Yeah. Yep.
And you were saying that this is a convention you like to come to, even though you're not working it, because you like to come see friends and whatever.
Yep.
So that's right.
Yeah, I do. I love it out here, and I've got enough friends out here. And then take care of some business while I'm out here, too. But Stan does this right. I just everything is so unique and different the way he does it. It's great.
Yeah, it is. And I know that you always do have a lot of business every place you go, it seems like. And so is there anything new that you're working on or somebody's club you're helping to build or some electronics or something
Well,
new?
I just got finished putting in stuff and when Randy Pitchford, who the new owner of Genie now, I'm sure everyone knows him, he built a killer house, and he's doing shows in the theater, and so I
at
put some
Peacock
stuff
theater,
in his at the Peacock.
Okay.
So Dave and Kaplan and I are doing that at the end of September together.
Right, okay. Mm-hmm.
And so he's got my, you know, an enchanted bottle and a dematerialization chamber built into the house and a few other things. And
some of the same stuff you did for Geo?
Yep, at Geo 2, and but now my new dematerialization chamber, he's the first one to have one put in his house.
Wow.
And so that's cool, and I've got a few new things I put in that I've keep to myself for my show that are a lot of fun.
Yeah,
I'll eventually probably sell it.
If people want to see your show, where do they go?
To my club, the Comedy Magic Cabaret in Hilton Head Island, South Carolina. We're in our fifth year now,
okay.
and we're doing great.
You're headlining it all the time.
Yeah, I do a one man show, 2 hours.
2 hours? Wow.
Yeah. Well, believe it or not, lately it's been more because we get like castle crowds there. It's a great crowd. It's a nice island.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're familiar with Hilton Head, but it's a little bit upper class clientele.
Yeah.
Big golf and tennis island. Nice families in the summer and golfers and tennis people year round. And they're just great crowds.
Yeah.
And I cut stuff out and I still end up doing 2 hours because
there's
so much fun and I get to ad libbing and I'll say we're going to wrap it up. And they go, oh, it's I say.
Okay, just for you guys.
So I say, don't be nice. If you're being nice, that's nice. I'll do more, and I won't feel bad if anyone wants to leave. You're not going to break my heart, but I've got a beer in my hand, and I'm having fun. I'll keep going. And they do it. They're nuts, I guess. But I'm having a blast, and it's been going well. We've been number one on for nightlife on the island for 4 years now since we started up. It's been going great, so we're having a blast.
So do you ever go back out to Warren and Annabelle's and fill in out there?
No, I haven't been out there in years. Right now I'll go out for corporate and the castle. I'd love to do the castle every year, you know, if I can.
Same
so
here.
In our slow time, I'll get out there in January or February.
Yeah.
And those are two slow months for our season.
Mm-hmm.
And then the occasional thing, if friends have a club or something, I hang with them. But it's just nice sleeping in my own bed at night.
Right.
And when I go in, my act is set up and waiting for me. The stage is how I like it because I built it.
Yes.
The lights are how I like it because I built it. You know, and I don't have to pack it up at night.
Right.
I don't have to get it through TSA. And
I was just talking with Rick Wilcox about his theater that's up in Wisconsin Dells. And same thing with him. He's in his 17th year with it right now.
And they're killing it up there, too. They're great people.
And they like it because, again, it's their theater. And they built the way they want it. They have the stage. And I think that's just perfect.
And they don't cut any corners on it. They do a great job.
This morning at the focus or the general session that Ray Anderson was talking about, working at Esther's Follies. And I've always said that publicly and privately, you know, he's my favorite magician. Absolutely. Yeah. You're up there, though, Kerry.
Well, thanks.
But I do love Ray. He's a very funny guy. He does a very, anyhow, in their show, that Stan Allen had asked him, well, why don't you travel? Why don't you go out to Vegas or do that? Because he could be popular other places. Well, he said, why should I? You know, I've got everything I want. I've got the stage. Right. I've got all the kind of creative authority that I want, you know, and there's no reason. I mean, people come to me, you know, why should I go out and take this to them because we're packing the house
I agree.
You're doing the same thing.
Yeah,
you know?
And we are. We're packing them in. We're doing great, and I just absolutely love it. And I, you know, I had 30 years on the road, mm-hmm. which I loved, and I did enjoy it, so I got that out of my system, and Kelly and I have been together 20 years, and we just love being home and sleeping in our own bed. And if we get the bug, I'll book a ship or I'll book a club in the Caribbean or something.
And
I will do that sometimes, but I do that when I want a vacation, you know, instead of having to do that to pay the bills.
But you left Ohio quite a while ago then, because I remember you had a club there.
5 years
and
ago.
Then you let that other guy have it, I guess, and so that's all been behind
no,
you.
No, not in Ohio. I was going to put the club in there right before the crash, all the stock crash and everything in 2008, was it? It was a billion and a half dollar project they were doing in the flats.
Yeah.
And we had the contract and everything signed and a lease, and then they cut that whole thing, went on the brink for years. In fact, it was just a couple years ago that they started it back up again. So that went kaput, and then I thought, you know, I was working on a deal with the Hawaiian Village in Oahu, and talking to the president of that, and we were in negotiations, but it was going to be another year. At the same time, Hilton Head came up, and I thought, you know, there's nothing going on in Hilton Head. I love Hawaii, but I'd rather be in Maui than Oahu.
Yeah,
and then I thought, you know, Hilton Head is a beautiful island. The weather's great.
Right.
It's easier to, you know, see the kids, and you're already on the mainland. So I'm glad I did. It worked out great for us. Yeah.
That sounds great. So you're kind of in your semi-retirement period of your life right now.
I keep saying that, but I'm still busier than I ever have been. But I've always said I'll work till the day I die anyway.
Yeah.
Because why wouldn't we? We love our job, right?
Yeah. As long as we got our health.
That's right.
You know, and how you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty darn good.
You look good.
Got a little gas right now.
Is that ethyl or premium?
It's premium, of course. Business has been good. I can afford the premium.
Yeah. Now, have you had a chance to see some of the sessions and everything that's been going on, or attend any?
Missing one now.
But talking to Scott.
Yeah, no, but I'm seeing friends, I loved everything, and finally saw John Archer for the first time. Absolutely loved
him.
Really,
hadn't seen him before.
I've never seen him, and I love him.
Because he was at Magi Fest, you know.
I haven't been to Magi Fest in ages, but. Okay. I love him. I just think he's brilliant. And
you got to bring him into your club.
And I love. I talked to him. Next time he comes back, we're gonna get him down there. And then I always love seeing John and Owen too. Passing Zone, my God, they're so perfect.
They are
in every way, you know. But Stan always does it right. Everyone he has all the talent and all the lectures and. I love this convention.
The dealer's room is a different flow this year.
Yeah.
It's more of your typical up and down avenue as opposed to the Infinity Circle 8 they had before, you know.
Right, it is. It's more like what you typically see. And I don't know that I like it better or worse, but it's still all of the great dealers that Stan always has here, too, you know.
Yep.
So.
And here's Brad Henderson also.
I see Brad
Brad.
Hey, Carrie. Hey, Scott. How are you?
We're fantastic. Thank you. So you've been kind of behind the scenes a little bit then, Brad, and doing some of the stuff, doing some of the AV and doing the announcing?
I'm coordinating the focus groups. So it's basically herding cats, making sure that I've got a performer in each room at the right time and a host in each room at the right time and all the microphones have their batteries at the right time.
So you haven't run back and forth among all three
rooms? I probably walked 5 miles each day.
I thought you were looking a little thinner.
Thank you. I'm wearing bigger clothes.
You've been involved with Magic Live for how many years? I mean, you were helping Sam with this year.
Well,
year,
you know, back in the days when I was reviewing for the magazine, I was always part of at least one of the events.
Yes.
When we would used to do the dealer sessions and, you know, we got to say outrageous things. I helped a little bit last year. Although if you ask me at this state of mind right now, I couldn't even tell you what I did last year. But I did something last year. And I was actually happy to be asked to be part of the pre-convention planning, where we discussed a lot of ideas and options that we explored, things we wanted to look at. And you know, and I like being a part of this. I like designing events. As you know, I designed events for Richard Garriott, fully immersive events. So to me, this is just an extension of this, except for nerdier people.
I was thinking about that when I was at the 49 Boxes experience, the Thayer thing, about how much that you love puzzles, number one, and also how you'd prepared these ideas and things like that, those experiences for Richard Garriott.
But you know what? I do, and I think I'm very good at what I do.
You are.
But I think what they did was great.
It was pretty phenomenal. I mean, you could tell it took more than just those two
guys. Yeah, there's so much going into that. I don't think people appreciate how much planning and work and contingencies that you have to come up with in order to create this kind of linear, non-linear, intersecting web of a story that has all these individual payoffs, which both have to be challenging so they're not obvious, but not so difficult that they become discouraging.
Very fine line.
It's a huge razor edge.
Yeah.
You know, the first time I ever did a scavenger hunt for a group of magicians was at a TAOM, and somebody came into
that.
It, and it was really successful.
Fort Worth,
it was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah.
And somebody come in late and said, "What is this?" And somebody quipped it, "It's Brad proving he's smarter than everyone else." Because you run into that, you have to be very careful that you're creating something for, and that was never my intent.
Yeah.
But the problem is it's very easy to create something that's either way too easy and nobody cares, or something that for whatever reason is just way too difficult.
Well, now that's a good point, because one of the things they talked about this morning as they were clarifying that in the general session was just that very thing. But this experience for us was like about a half hour, seemed like, when we solved all the puzzles in our room or so.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we were in a smart room. We were in the same group last
night.
I think we were the same. Well, I thought it was, because I looked at my watch, I thought we'd finish. Oh, it was about an hour. Okay. Point was, they said that normally this is a two-hour experience. So they said they make the questions just a little bit more difficult, so this way that you spend a little bit more time trying to figure out where you're going with that. And so I can see how that would be a fine line. So that way you have to figure out, how can I keep this so it's going to be 2 hours or 1 hour? What do you put in, take out?
Now let's put this in terms that our audience might be able to relate to. When we do a show, as a rule, we're pretty good at knowing it's going to be 15 or 20 minutes because we can time our material. But you know how there's some beats of material that we do, though, that even though if you script it, you never really know it's going to play until you've done it live, because it depends so much on the person on stage the vibe of the audience or it's interactive, right? So the only way to get those is like a hypnotist or a comedian. You can't practice that in your room. You have to go out and do it. And just because it works the first time doesn't mean it's ever going to work again.
Yes.
And just because it's starting to work doesn't mean it's always going to work.
Yeah.
So that we all have in our act pieces of material that really took years to develop because we had to come to learn to understand it from, and you can only understand it from doing it. Now imagine what they had to do, because this is not something you can go out and go up to your coworker and go, "Here, let me hand you 49 boxes.
Yeah.
You know, we can practice these things over and over again.
Yeah.
And some of us less so than others. But you know, that's the lament is, you know, to become great at anything, you have to do it. Imagine how much thought went into what they did to be as great as they were with so little times to rehearse and workshop and do it. I mean, really, the intellectual achievement, I mean, it just shows such an understanding of so many factors, not the least of which is human nature and how human beings are going to interact in the times that they do. But these guys have also done other kinds of projects that tap into these kinds of things.
Same thing with magic. Whenever you know there are a few things are going to be working, and so you kind of try it. But the two things you can't ever rehearse or practice at home is timing and misdirection. Those two things only come. You might think I'm misdirecting properly or I've got the right timing, but until you actually do that in front of an audience, it may be a completely different outcome. And so the same thing here, that I think that you're right. They have these different ideas they've tried, and so they... But here they've done it how many times, they said? Like 12 times in 3 days?
You can learn an awful lot from that.
Yeah, you can. Well, I thought that was something that was outstanding. What else do you think was a highlight for you so far here this year?
Other than getting to talk to you at this moment, Scott?
Oh, I love you, man. You know, I get a lot of people who come back, and I get some emails and things saying, "I really like that one that you had done with Brad Henderson."
Well,
you know, we did that two-part thing.
Tell them which one it is, and they can watch it.
It was, well, go back and listen. It was, if you do a search for Brad Henderson, you find it. You know, Magic as an Art, and then I think it was another one that was...
I did two of them. And I don't know if I should pitch somebody else, but I did one for Elliot Terrell's thing, Art of Magic. Okay. So I did one a couple of months when I was in the, out at the castle. So, so if people want to hear more of my ranting,
more of you. That's where Art of Magic. No,
you know what?
There's room for all of us.
To be honest, I'm going to tell you the one real magic moment I've had. Now I didn't get to see any of the general sessions because I'm working.
Yeah,
was in that 49 boxes. There was a magic moment that was created for us, and I was standing next to Tim Troner, and we both looked at each other, and we were like, "How the did that happen?" Yeah. That was, I mean, it was a case. We were given these instructions. We had a deck of cards. They were all normal. We shuffled them up, took cards out, put them in boxes. No one's, you know, we knew what the cards were, but I mean, it was like the boxes were there. And then we go through all the sequence, and eventually we bring over, you know, they give us a prop, and the cards we picked were produced. It was impossible. I mean, it was the strongest magic moment I've had in a long time.
How nice is that to feel something that, you know, as a magician, you think you know everything. It's
I love getting hit.
I'm fooled. Yeah, exactly.
Being fooled's easy. Being fooled and being made to care that you that moment happened, that's the key.
That's what a con is, you know, in a way. Whenever you're a good con is when it's like, yeah, I was taken. And, you know, you're not upset with the person who conned you. It's kind of like, okay, that was on me.
That's not what I'm getting at there. What I'm getting at is, I'm sure there's a ton of guys doing card tricks, and they could show me a card trick where they find a card in an impossible way, and I may not know the method to do it, but I don't care, because I didn't care in the first place.
It may fool you, but not entertain you.
And it didn't engage me.
Engage me. Okay.
I think entertainment's a terrible word.
Okay,
but, but we don't want to, you know, listen to the other podcast for that. Yeah. But no, but to me, I was in the moment. It came as a complete surprise. It was a true impossibility. Mm-hmm. It hit me when my guard was down. Because you just didn't expect something so great and so impossible.
And Tim was experiencing
that
with you.
Absolutely no explanation.
Yeah.
It was real magic.
That's cool.
I got to experience real magic as a part of that.
And that's the kind of thing that you get when you come to Magic Live. So that's why people need to be here next year. You know?
Yes, yes.
That is great. Thank you very much, Brad.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
See you later, Scott.
So with the Magic Word Podcast, that was Kerry Pollack and Brad Henderson. Scotty out. All right, well, we're still walking around the dealer's room a little bit over here, and I've then got with me now one of Johnny Carson's favorite magicians, Brian Gillis. Hi there, Brian.
I hate the Johnny Carson thing. It ages me.
That was so long ago. That's right. No. It almost kind of dates us, you know.
Yeah, you think?
Since he's been gone, and you're continuing to still rock it. I know when you're working at the Magic Castle and other places, you know, corporate dates and everything.
Yep.
But was also a star just of the recent movie that was on Netflix.
Yeah, Magician's Life and the Impossible,
Life and the Impossible. Was that fun, doing that
It was
show?
Okay. I would have edited it differently.
A little bit differently?
You know,
And so the Magic Live, we're here for the convention. Do you come to these every year, or have you come very often?
No, I just got here for the last day. I've got a corporate gig tomorrow, and then
I'll go
back to L.A.
Oh, back in L.A.
No, I've got a corporate gig here in Vegas,
okay,
tomorrow,
gotcha.
And then going back to L.A.
Gotcha. So have you had a chance? Did you see the morning general session?
No, I'm just wandering around.
Just kind of wandering around the dealer's room, right now. Have you bought anything, found anything that's exciting?
A couple things,
Okay.
Yeah.
Something that you're going to just kind of play with? As a professional, that you have a good, solid act that you've been doing for years and that is you, what do you find that are in place, you know, at dealer's rooms like this? I mean, is there something that just kind of attracts your attention that I can play with just for yourself?
Very few things. I've gotten to the point where I kind of know my style, and I see things that'll fool me. I think they're cool, but I know I would never use it. So.
Yeah. But there are some things. I mean, you're still working in restaurants, and so I guess you're probably...
Not
so much anymore?
No.
Okay.
Corporate things in the Magic Castle. That's pretty much it. Yeah.
And so, again, when you're buying a trick here at the dealer's room, it may be something that you might decide to work in because you're thinking, hey, I can put my personality stamp on that.
I kind of think this might fit into my style, but most of it doesn't.
Right. Well, you know, you and I have talked about trying to get together for a lecture. You're going on a lecture tour this next January, so I'm just letting some people know then right now who are interested. If you want to see and hear more from Brian, then try and do it early next year. It's kind of tentatively slated for January 2018.
Uh-huh.
So that's going to be your first tour, actually. Is that right, as far as
trying
to go on a full-blown thing? You've done lectures on and off here and there. But
yeah, I'm getting nervous. I've got to figure out stuff to sell. But yeah.
You'll do that. That'll be great. Thank you very much. I appreciate it, Brian. Have a great time. Enjoy
Thanks,
the
Scott.
Rest of the day. You bet.
Appreciate it.
Scotty out. getting ready for the general session to begin over here. Actually, sorry, the focus session about real magic is hosted by Ben Earl, but I was sitting here then with Joe Turner, past international president of the IBM. Hi there, Joe.
Yeah. Hi, Scott.
Nothing more past than a past president. That,
you know, it's a good thing. It's all good.
Yeah, now you can kind of relax. Speaking of relaxing, how are you enjoying this convention?
It's been great. I had to miss last year, so it's been a couple of years since I had the opportunity to go through this experience again. It's been great.
And here we are on the fourth day. What one thing kind of sticks out right now?
As always, a lot of innovative stuff going on, and sometimes experimental things. I thought the Thayer Box experience was great. It was something unusual and none of us have experienced really before,
right?
Or very few of us. The thing that has stuck out to me was probably the close-up experience.
Yes.
Close-up show this year. I don't know. I mean, I think Garrett Thomas is just, I'm not going to say he's at the peak of his powers, but he is operating at maximum wizard at the moment. He is
maximum wizard.
He is truly just excellent. I thought the act that he did was, besides the fact that it was superb, powerful, nailed it, everybody loved it. It was practical. He could walk into any room in any hotel or restaurant and do that exact act. No fancy tables,
right.
No backstage,
all from the pockets.
Just all. And so I guess I'm a little bit of a purist when it comes to that, but that's what I admire in close-up magic, is the ability to really do that in the real world. And so that Garrett Thomas has like made my convention in that way. And probably the best thing I did outside of the normal schedule, I got to have lunch with Eric Mead one day.
You did? Wow.
Yeah, and that was just some one-on-one time with someone I admire so much.
Mm-hmm.
And
wow,
super smart, super smart. So that was those are two highlights.
Wow, those were good ones. And also, just talking with Eric and spending a lot of time, you know, that one of the things that they mentioned in the general session there this morning, you've got the red lanyard, so you're the same thing with me. And I think it was there. Someone was talking about the Tangled Web. I guess that was
Eric's book.
Yeah, I know it was Eric's book. Was that Jonathan Levitt when he was introducing him and talking about that? But that was a seminal book for me. I thought, you know, I learned a lot. One thing, there's so many takeaways.
It was Homer.
It was Homer Lewag.
It was Homer Lewag that
was
throwing some accolades at Eric's work there, and
well-deserved.
Accolade, yep. Absolutely. So, you know you've made an impact when the Copperfield team is paying attention.
Yeah.
So that good on Eric. He is, I mean, I said already, but he's one of my people I probably most admire in magic.
He knows how to do it and has been successful at it for such a long time. And, you know, I was just talking with John Stetson and John Rose, who are organizing a festival in Havana, Cuba, for it's going to be next November, not this coming, but 2018. And they're going to have Eric Mead down there to help coordinate, among other magicians, you know, Mike Cavney and whoever all else.
Right.
They're going to have Eric working to help coordinate this bar magic.
It's the guy. I will never forget the second Magic Live, the close-up experience at that opened with Eric Mead behind the bar as we went from venue to venue. And frankly, that close-up experience from the second Magic Live, in my opinion, has never been equaled as an overall experience. It was just landmark.
So many people have said that, and I regret that was one I missed. I was just getting the odd ones. I went to the first, the third, the fifth, and I've not missed any since then, but I missed the second and the fourth one. It was the second one that did that, and everybody said, man, you should have been there.
It will, I mean, it's historically.
Was it a trade show, and then we kind of went from room to room?
It started in a bar, then a trade show, then a restaurant, then a formal close-up theatrical setting. Castle close-up.
Okay.
And, you know, Tim Conover was just on fire in the trade show room, and Michael Close at the restaurant. It was a spectacular event. All that to say, you know, if they want to have someone who's a true expert in bar magic at this thing in Cuba, then they got a guy.
Well, all that to say also about the kinds of things that are memories that will last forever of conventions that Magic Live creates. It seems like the Magic Live is a place that you really need to come if you guys haven't had a chance to come over there. If you're going to one convention, I know you're with the IBM, but coming to the convention next year in Grand Rapids. But this is one that really attracts an international set of professional magicians. And, you know, Ray Anderson talked this morning about how that he's able to attend this because it's on a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Right.
And a lot of professionals can't work or come because when they're on the weekends, typically, you know, encourages hobbyists to attend the conventions, but
right.
but not the professionals.
Well, I think that, you know, there's lessons there. I think all of both of the major magic associations are going to have to start really taking lessons on their operations, on their conventions and events from other professional associations and how they're able to survive. The environment is very different, and the way we offer value to a population, to our industry, or to our hobbyists, to everybody, is going to have to shift a little bit. And maybe we need to explore some of these during the week, front half of the week types of events. And there are other innovative things that Stan has done that have already filtered out into the way other conventions operate over the years. So
they've taken tips from Stan.
But Stan, to his credit, is showcasing innovations from other conventions here. The workshop that David Sandy did and is doing again was a focus session here, and that's something that Stan is doing, is to take ideas from smaller but focused conventions that are doing innovative things and bringing that information into Magic Live. So everybody, the whole point, I guess, is collaboration. And the more effectively we do it, the longer we all survive, the farther we all go, the better chance we have of being successful together.
That's well said. You know, along that line, I was just thinking about how that people going into this convention were wondering how this was going to play out since he no longer has the magazine to use as a basis. But really the structure and the format has been pretty much the same as far as having the groups broke up into red and blue in the morning and afternoon session, just reverse. So you have a general session in the morning or afternoon, and the focus sessions with two out of three. So in other words, that the general, and then one or two different shows that are going to be like with the 49 boxes or whatever. So the structure of this really has unchanged, but it was still spectacular.
Yeah, I mean, the structure was pretty innovative when Magic Lodge started.
Right.
And I guess that's the criticism that I hear, is it's kind of like two conferences. Mm-hmm. You've got your red lanyard conference and your blue lanyard conference, because those populations don't really mix during the day.
That's correct. Yeah, we don't see each other.
So it's a 1,600-person convention, but it's really two 800-person conventions kind of happening with shared evenings. But, you know, it's also maximizing the space.
Sure.
And so, I mean, there's all kinds of excellent reasons to do it that way.
That all makes sense.
Yeah. But it's been great. Yeah. So the main thing is he's managed generally to find a way to do something fresh and innovative even within that structure every time, most of the time. So this year the Thayer thing was just an experience out of the box.
See, that was something that was not necessarily by red or blue. That had to do with just the tickets, because there were only so many people that could get into the room at a time.
Right.
And so you had different tickets. And so I was in there with different people who were...
So, some of those shared experiences, the ticketed events.
And that in particular forced you to kind of work with other people who you didn't know, to get to be friends and to really have that more interactive. I mean, that was the advantage of that, because you were all trying to struggle towards the same goal. But there were different people who had different skill sets to bring in play.
And there, some of the focus groups have been that way, too. I just got out of the one on innovation and brainstorming.
Yeah.
That one, the content of that is driven by this Discover Magic program for kids.
Yeah.
That, but the experience of going through that session was, again, collaboration, a little corporate team building-y kind of stuff, if you think of it that way. So that's an example of this collaborative thing. The workshop focus session that David Sandy and his crew did, it was hands-on teaching. They passed out props as you went in, and you learned, you know, to handle a dye tube hands-on in that session. So it was different than a normal sit and watch a lecture and a demonstration
trick experience.
So, I mean, all of that is great. I think, speaking as an IBM person, but I'm a life member of the SAM too. I think both the IBM and the SAM can learn valuable lessons from that and other things that are going on at other conventions. We're going to have to shift a little bit.
Yep, I think we will. Well, I think we're getting ready to start this session here right now, so I'm going to let us go. Thank you very much.
Great to talk to you, Scott.
You as well. And so for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Joe Turner. This is Scotty out. And now the second group has gone in and filled up the theater. for the final show of the evening before the evening Mardi Gras party at 10 o'clock, which we're going to have keeping this same theme of Route 17 of a that we had at the Hop as the opening night on Sunday night, opening party that is, and the closing party is going to be then, again, keeping with the same theme with hot dogs and hamburgers and everything, so it should be some fun. Speaking of fun, I'm with a very fun guy, and I don't mean this because he's a mushroom that stays in the dark. Not that kind of fun guy, but here he is, Mr. John Schrock. Hey, John.
Good to be here. How's it going?
Fantastic. And so, you know, as we just said, there are a lot of friends I just had a guy text me and was saying, you know, hey, I'm back home now. I had to leave early. We never got a chance to hang out. You know, it's like, again, there are only 1,600 people here. So.
Well, we're on day four, and this is the first time I've seen you, and yeah. I've known you a long time.
That's right.
It's pretty busy.
So, since you have seen the whole show, what's been a highlight or something like the first thing that comes to mind when I say, if somebody comes up to you and says, wow, what was Magic Live like? What stands out?
Well, it's a fun hang, as always. The shows were great. The Jugglers, I think, kind of stole the shows this year.
Passing Zone
and the guy we saw
tonight. Victor King.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
He's spectacular.
Yeah, for those of you who are listening, you might remember from America's Got Talent, I think it was last season, perhaps. It was the guy that kind of had some sort of a bodysuit that looked like a bodybuilder or something?
Something like that. It was cool.
Yeah, it was very cool.
Very artistic.
Where the balls drop out of the ceiling and everything, and he juggles them. What an act.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And the close-up show was incredible. A lot of good stuff.
The close-up shows were memorable. I thought that was pretty cool, too.
Sure.
And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but what else? Anything else?
I've enjoyed the lectures. I've enjoyed all the sessions. There's always something topical.
Which sessions do you attend? I mean, I know that you only get like a choice of a few. Which ones?
The
general sessions, not the focus sessions. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Did you get to any of the focus
sessions?
Yeah, sure.
I saw some of the focus sessions. They had a good time. Dave and Sandy did a workshop thing. That was a good time. And they're all fun. It's really cool.
Yeah, they were. Did you hear the one that Richard Hatch had about Erdnase and Expert Card Table?
I was at that one, yeah. It was very cool.
Yeah, again, that they were all good. It's hard sometimes to choose which one that you want to go to and missing another one, you know, kind of a thing. But for me, I really like the 49 boxes, the Thayer puzzle thing. Did you get to do that?
Puzzle thing.
I talked to a couple people said I had something else because you were given an assigned time, and if you missed it, you missed it.
I found it amazing how much work went into putting that together. It's just mind-boggling how much time and effort went in to make that all happen. It's very clever and fun. It was fun interacting with other people.
Right.
I thought they did a great job. Very cool.
Well, on a completely different subject, and kind of you were saying you just got back then from working Warren and Annabelle for the last several weeks again.
Yeah.
And so that's always a fun thing.
I love working Warren Annabelle.
You work there, what, like three times a year or so?
I spend 4 to 5 months a year in Maui doing shows there. So that's kind of my main job now.
Is that, you're not working cruises as much then?
No, I haven't been on a ship in quite a while. Stay pretty busy at Warren's.
With that, because then when you're not doing that, you're back home.
You're home with my wife and kids,
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Is Mary work for a law firm or what is she?
She is a city prosecutor.
Prosecutor, okay.
Yeah.
She's working for the city. Okay, got it.
We still do shows. We still do big shows and stuff, but we don't go on cruise ships like we used to.
Well, you got
like
family. It's kind of
that's
hard.
Right.
I would think,
that's right.
You know, most guys, it seems like, have been the same way. You know, whenever they've had children, it's kind of like, okay, I'm not going to stay on shore, you know. I was a part of my life. Now I got to do something else.
I kind of made a rule when we had the family. I said, I'm not going to be gone more than 26 weeks out of the year. I want to be spend at least half the time at home with the family.
You don't want your kids to grow up just looking at promo photos.
That's right. That's right.
And so when you're working and doing shows around, are they mainly like in and around Arizona, or are you traveling still?
Yeah, no, corporate stuff wherever, and occasional conventions. Go to the Castle a few times, and theater's local.
Doing Illusions? Or, I mean, you're a fantastic close-up guy. But,
yeah, we still do the Illusions.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And whenever you haul that, do you have like a big trailer or like a whatever?
I don't know if it's a big trailer, but it's big enough to carry the stuff, yeah.
How many Illusions, when you're performing a show in a corporate thing, I mean, do you do like two open and the close with one? Or?
Well, it varies.
What they want, I guess,
I customize things quite a bit.
Yeah.
We typically do 3 or 4 or 5 Illusions in an evening show, and then plenty of stand-up and audience participation and stuff. And my kids have actually started doing some tricks.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, they're cute. You got to exploit it, right?
That's what they're for. And when they get older, then they're supposed to mow the yard. You know.
Good luck with that.
That's why you have kids. Yeah, good luck with that. I know. Well, good. I'm glad you enjoyed the convention. Awful good to see you then, John.
Having a blast. Good to see you, Scott. Good. Thanks.
Okay. So for the Magic Live, and we still got some more people here getting ready to go into the show or into the party here shortly. We'll chat with a few more people later, but that was John Schirach here for the Magic Word Podcast. Scotty out. So we're at the party right now and having a hamburger and some french fries and milkshakes. And I'm here with David Hirer. When we're talking about food, we're talking about David Hirer.
Yeah, you have to mention me. It's a great sock hop. We're having hamburgers, french fries, and they're making shakes there one at a time.
One at a time. That's true. Yeah, they're individual shakes, so they're nice and fresh.
That's right. Hey, you want to see a card trick with that shake?
So, rather than having you stand up and watching you shake, tell me, what was one of the highlights for the convention since it's now over here?
Really, honest to God, of all the things, you know, as we get older, one thing we say is we go to conventions to see friends.
Sure.
Since I was a kid, there was a show I always wanted to see, and I got to share the story about what happened when Angela and I came.
Yeah.
We had been married just 2 or 3 years. I always wanted to come see Siegfried and Roy, and we got our first tax refund after the 3rd year of being married, and she looked at me and she said, and I'm going to take you to Vegas, and you're going to see Siegfried and Roy. And I was like a kid in a candy store. And we flew here, we threw our bags in the room, we ran down to the box office, and there was not a single person in line. And we didn't know what dark all week meant.
It's like Wally World, you know?
and for the first time, although we did get to see the show 2 or 3 years later, but last night was the first, night before last was the first time I got to meet Siegfried.
Yeah,
and that was,
I saw the picture of you.
Yeah, and that was such a treat for me to get to meet him. I shared that story with him, and he was heartbroken when I told him the story. He was as warm, as interested as anyone I've ever met. And, you know, some people in your childhood that are big icons, and, you know, David Copperfield, we know, is the king, but he is still royalty. He is still the reigning royalty of this city, no doubt about it.
I have to agree.
My grandson gets to see White Tigers because of Siegfried and Roy. We all get to see White Tigers because of those two men.
Right.
So anyway, for a lot of reasons, what a highlight. And to see that he was just milling around in the lobby.
Yeah.
With no security, no anything around him. You know, so that was really a highlight. I think the 49 boxes, the Thayer boxes, was really an interesting treat. My gosh, those are the things that stick out. You know, shows are great, lectures are great, all those things are great, but that, ask me what surprised me.
David, so what was it that surprised you about the convention?
You know, when Josh Jay gave the results of his survey, that whole thing, none of it was a surprise to me. What was a surprise to me is that it was surprises to all the magicians. It was a surprise to magicians how important a written introduction was. You know, you and I did this on your last podcast, but it made me think, honest to God, who do these magicians that we adore work for? because it's just for those guys of us that are out there working, you know, we all just thought, of course. The idea that the least favorite thing of lay people is card tricks. Of course it is. It's not that card tricks are boring, but again, it was a surprise to me that it was a surprise to the magic community.
That's interesting. Well, that was interesting results, I think. Interesting the fact that there's actually been scientific study, you know, where that people, normal layman people, have been asked these questions.
So that was a surprise to me that it was a surprise to everyone else.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that data was out there to support what us guys out in the real world have been saying to magicians. Quit fiddling all the time with these minutia things.
Right.
But as a hobby, I think...
Well, that's the point.
Yeah, as a hobby, I think that slights and all those things are really important. They're good for the overall...
Well, again, I think that's why this convention differs from a lot of others, is because, like Ray Anderson said today, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't that it was on a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Sure, sure.
Because I'm working on the weekends, and I think most professionals are. You know, John Schirach, a lot of guys that I see are just walking around here. You know, Kerry Pollack and some other guys I've spoken to that are just here because they don't have the other opportunity on a weekend convention to attend. And so you see a lot more people here just hanging out and having fun.
Absolutely. And one other thing I want to say, too, was in the close-up show, the close-up show was really great, although it was all card tricks. But that last guy, and I don't know his name, gave me an experience I have never, ever, ever felt. The amount of surprise and... It was surprise after surprise after surprise. And although it was a card act, it was no ordinary card act. And those are important to me as a working magician, to remember what it feels like to be completely surprised and astonished. And it makes me go, that's the feeling I'm supposed to be giving, and I hope I'm giving every time. But boy, if you don't have that moment for yourself,
right?
We get so jaded. Oh yes, that's clever. Oh, isn't that an interesting application of the Jared box
or whatever? Plot or whatever, yeah.
But to experience the complete wonder and surprise and just that almost Disney-like feel is so...
It's childlike, you know, wonder that we kind of recapture, I think, with some of those things. Because I agree with you then, David, sometimes we'll attend conventions, and it's like, okay, this guy's in the Linking Rings, you know, or there's a Cups and Balls, okay, what will be his final load or whatever? I mean,
right. You're
anticipating the stock lines and things, certain people say, at your standard conventions, if you will. And here, that's one of the things I think Stan provides us with, people who provide surprise.
Yeah. And it also reminds me again, too, how important those panel discussions are, or just those discussions one-on-one with some of the greats, or just that. That's the kind of thing that a lot of people are really interested in.
Now, wasn't that interesting, I think, this year that he changed it up so he didn't have one person after another just kind of doing the, quote, TED Talk kind of thing, but basically, you know, having Julie Yang and Jonathan Levitt as being moderators, in which they would sit there on the chairs and just have questions. You know, it was very entertaining.
And I love very much, too, that they were thoughtful enough to interview Ray Anderson about Escher's Follies. My only criticism, I told Ray, I said, I wanted to see video of you actually performing. And
Yes. Because
no one can understand Escher's Follies. But for those of your listeners who have not been to Austin, Texas to see Escher's Follies, you're missing out on one of the most wonderful performances and experiences that is indescribable.
You really are. And I also would encourage people to go back, actually, on the podcast here, go into the archives and type in Ray Anderson or Escher's Follies, and you can listen to it. In fact, that Ray had told me of all the television and newspapers and radio and other things he's done, that the chat we had was the most revealing. He said, I opened up and there were more things we talked about, and he said that was the most fun and the best interview I've ever had. You know,
well,
so go back and listen to that, learn more about this guy.
And it can't have happened, success could not have happened to a better guy.
Absolutely.
You know, Ray and I are the same age exactly. He's 1 month older than I am.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah.
I was guessing he's like 55.
Yeah, he's 20, 22 like me.
Okay, yeah.
and we compare notes a lot. We have, especially in the later years, because we don't like to talk about exit plans out loud. But, you know, we all have to have an exit plan. He's been with Escher's now 40 years it's been around. And you know, I mean, in the next 20 years, he's going to have to do something.
Well, no, he's going to be closing it up. You know, they're going to be in the next 3 or 4 years, what they said.
I don't know if that was a secret or not. But
I've mentioned that already in two other conversations. So,
but anyway, it's really interesting to hear us guys. You know, one thing I like about Ray and I share together is that we're not going to be those really, those magicians that have made a wonderful career, and yet when we pass away, that someone's going to have to start a GoFundMe to bury us.
Yeah.
You know, he and I are committed not to be those guys and to help as many magicians as we can make sure that doesn't happen to them. So he and I are, he's just one of my favorite people. I'm glad we got to spend time together too.
Mine as well. Well, listen, thank you, David, very much. Always a pleasure to talk with you. I always learn a lot. I appreciate your perspective also.
Yeah, well, I'm happy to be with you. And again, as I always say to you, thank you for archiving, for capturing these moments with so many of the greats who we're not going to be around forever. None of us are going to live forever. But through you, we're going to live on through these podcasts. People are going to really remember what a great time people had at places like this and on events like this. So thanks again for doing that. And let me always say, too, to those listening, if you're not already a financial supporter of the Magic Word podcast, as I am and many of my friends are, please do. Just even $5 a month will do it for you. You know, $10 if you can, whatever. Like, support this. It's great.
Thank you, David. Wow.
You
couldn't have said it better myself. You're the best. So, for the Magic Word podcast, we're still at the party. We're going to walk around some more. That was David Hira, and this is Scotty Allen. right. Well, we are still kind of wandering around here at the final farewell party, and I'm here with someone I haven't seen until just now, and that's Marvin, Mr. Electric Roy. Hi there, Marvin.
Yeah, hi. That was a great convention. All you guys that miss it, try and come to us next year in Vegas. It's a great, great party.
That's what it is. It's a party. You know, it's not just a convention. It's a time when all friends kind of get together and get to see each other. What was a highlight for you? What'd you?
Some people like this magic, and I like all magic. Yes. Carol used to say to me that she thought she wasn't sure who I loved the most, either her or the goddess of magic, you know? I just enjoy seeing magic, and I enjoy in my time performing.
Yeah.
But not anymore.
That kind of reminds me, I was talking with Sarah Ballantyne, you know, and she was about her dad, Carl, and he said that Carl... love was magic and horse racing. That's why they named her Saratoga.
That's a combination, you know. Yeah. Yes, I know that. Yeah. Yes. We had over, 1,600 here, I think.
That's right, 1,600 plus about another 100 or so performers and guests, I guess, had come as well. This had a little bit of everything, whether you're an illusionist, you're a close-up guy, you're a mentalist, entertainer.
And some of them was way out of the box.
Yes.
For sure.
They were. Now, speaking of the boxes, did you get a chance to go and do that Thayer illusion puzzle box thing?
Yeah, I was there.
Wasn't that fun?
That was a lot of fun, yeah.
Trying to figure out all the puzzles.
Yeah, that was fun. And the guy that created that has a good gimmick there, because that way for presentation, for corporate work and everything.
Yeah.
Very, very clever.
I guess talk about teamwork. You really get people all together.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Well, it's a good sale. It's a good product to sell.
Yeah.
To corporate conventions and everything,
right.
Because it gets them all interested.
Yes.
It's a clever idea they came up with.
One quick thing, and I'm going to let you go. We'll finish up over here, and that was some years ago that you, Copperfield. Ended up getting all of your equipment after you had retired and everything.
Yes.
The other night we had a little party over at Copperfield's place for Walter Blaney.
Oh, yes, I know. I just saw Walter a couple of hours ago. He's a very dear friend.
I know. He was, because you guys, I think, started about the same time.
I was in, this is going back to the 50s.
Yes.
And I used to play in Texas a lot with the beginnings of the light bulb act.
Okay.
Long before Carol.
Before he met her, yeah.
And Walter lived at that time near Dallas.
Okay.
And we became very good friends.
Yes.
He's a great, great friend.
But after you'd written your book about the, after 50 years of performing, Walter's been working on a book for a long time, too, because he said, I've been doing this for 50 years. You need to put it in writing. And he always carries around little index cards with him and jots down notes. And I keep saying, when are you going to do it? When are you going to do it? You know, and so.
Well, I'm glad.
I hope he does.
I do. I tried to talk, Carol talked me into it, because I said to her at one time, all the guys want is cards and coins.
Yeah.
They don't want to read about old folks who travel the world. But I was wrong.
Oh, no,
my book sold very. But I tried to talk Channing into doing it. But
that would have been good.
Oh, it would have been wonderful if he'd have done it. Any magician that made his living at it for any great length of time and was a success, it's a shame that we don't. Well, it's a shame we don't have it from the past.
Yes.
And now with all the new electronic stuff, it's much simpler. All you got to do is put a device in front of you and you can record. And I hope as years go by, and because there'll always be a new kid on the block.
That's true.
That somebody is smart enough, like Mike Cabney did to me, because he was the one who talked me into it.
Yeah.
Most professionals... I really don't want to put everything down on paper, because they feel that the guys growing up, they just want to do tricks, you know.
Yeah.
But in a way it's true, in a way it's not true. And I do hope in the future all the guys that do it and make it a success, that put it on, put that record and put it on paper.
Hi, Don.
For sure. Yes.
Yes.
So, yeah. But anyway, magic is a great world. And we're a great magical family, and I don't think there was any place in the world that Carol and I didn't go. We were almost 40 years, close to 50 years in Europe, in the Middle East, and the Far East performing.
Wow.
In the 50s, 60s, and 70s. It's in the book.
Yes.
But there was always a knock on the door, and someone said, you don't know me, Mr. Roy, but I'm a magician. Can I do anything to help you?
Uh-huh. So anywhere you were in the world.
It's a, in Iran and in all the places that we work.
Right.
So it has more camaraderie than as a performing art than dance or music or anything.
And the fact that your act, of course, didn't have talking in it, you could perform anywhere.
Well, that was because it was the time. In Europe, there were a tremendous amount of nightclubs, but you were booked 2, 3, and 4 years ahead. But you went 100 miles and you were in a different country.
Yeah.
So they wanted acts that could not talk and did 9 minutes silence, and they wanted act. The people in those days that came, you got to remember, this is before television, before computers,
right,
before anything, and people went to cabarets. And cabarets in the Orient and in Europe were extremely expensive, mm-hmm. and only very wealthy people went, and everybody went dressed, and it was a great life. It was a great life.
Yep, of time gone by, unfortunately, but I'm glad that it's been recorded there in your book, and that's kind of what I'm trying to do with these podcasts, is to digitally leave them online.
It's good. Get as many of the quote-unquote old-timers as you can while we're still here.
Well, I appreciate it.
But anyway, take good care.
Okay, and thank you, Marvin.
Live the magic.
All the best to you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, for the Magic Word Podcast, this is Scotty out. All right, I know there's a lot of noise in the background over here, but that's because we're having a good time and a lot of fun and a lot of laughs, and you guys need to come the next time to Magic Live. But right now I've got with me Keith Fields.
Yay! And one of the best comedy magicians in the world, Keith Fields.
Keith Fields,
you already
right
said that's true, John
right
Archer.
There. And then another guy who's okay too is John Archer. Hey there,
one of the other best comedy magicians in the world. Coincidentally, both from the UK. How does that work?
I don't know how it works.
Funny jeans, that's what it is.
They're not one us over there, but they like us here.
Not Levi jeans, they're funny jeans.
Funny jeans.
What you're wearing
what it is,
over
yeah.
there. It must be the way it comes. Well, you know, everybody's been talking about the way that you, Keith, had opened up. That you had, it was your voice over on the first day.
I was.
You were the MC.
I was, yes, I got to appear in Magic Live by saying, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome, stand up. That was it. That was all I got.
That's
to
right. So in case any of you guys want
my
to have
starring
a
role.
A voiceover, Keith's the guy to come and have do that.
I have a new career ahead of me. It's going to be wonderful, darling.
Voice over to the stars.
That's right. Voice over the stars.
Magic.
That's right. But, no, everybody just saying, I'm surprised people hadn't seen you before. I must have talked to at least 10 people saying, that John Archer's the funniest guy I've heard.
It's funny, but I suppose it's... I've done lots of conventions in America
now. I know
now,
you have. I mean, you know, with
but
Magic
it's a big Festival. Place. I forget that.
You know,
in England, they're bored silly of me now. I go to a magic convention in England, they push me out the way and say, not you again. But over here, I think it's so big that, you know, you can do a convention, a Magi Fest in Columbus, and, you know, a lot of the people, you know, here will never have gone to that and vice versa. So, it is nice. It's always nice that I can come here and do something and people go, wow, you know, I can take them by surprise, which is nice.
Well, speaking of surprise, was this really kind of a surprise you weren't supposed to talk about? You know, a lot of times when Stan has these conventions, he doesn't like to announce the talent. Could you tell anybody?
Yeah, but you know what? Stan's sort of fine with it. He says, don't shout about it too much, but equally, you know, people ask you, you can tell them you're doing it. So I think what he doesn't want you to do really is just, you know, plaster it all over social media and Facebook and everything else so that there are no surprises. And I decided that I just wouldn't say anything about being here, really. I think I mentioned I was coming at one point, but I didn't say I was working here. And I think it's great. I mean, it's my first Magic Live, and I love the idea of going into shows not knowing who I'm going to see or what's going to be talked about. You know, I think it makes it feel more exciting every day, and also it sort of, I think it extends it a little bit. When you know who everybody is, sometimes you make bad decisions and don't go to see somebody because you just think, well, I've seen that or it won't suit me. When you don't know, you go along to see things that you might not have gone to see and realize you really enjoyed it. So
that's very well put. I hadn't thought of it that way.
Yeah.
Because there have been some things I have not attended at conventions because I've said, oh, I've already seen that guy, I've heard of it. I said, well, he talked about something completely different. It's like, man, I should have gone to see that, you know.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Now, are you just over here for this and then heading back?
No, I'm working the castle next week. So,
In the palace?
Yes, I'm staying here till Saturday, and then I go across to LA and work the castle from Monday through. It's a great week. Have you seen who's on at the castle next week?
No.
It's like Johnny Thompson and Paul Vigil, Mike Cavney, Tina Lennett, Michael Amar, Wow. Me.
What a week.
John Armstrong. I probably missed somebody. But, yeah, really great. It's a great week this next week. Yeah.
Wow, that's a strong week. That's a lot of...
Yeah.
Yeah, you, in the past, whenever I'm working, like, in a close-up room, they put me with somebody, so this way...
Well, you were there not long ago. I listened to all the podcasts you've been there. You were out there with...
Armando Lucero was working with me. You know, one year I was working with Bill Goodwin. That was the year he won the Close-Up Magician of the Year.
Yeah.
And I worked with Chris Korn then another year, and I think he was up nominated, you know. So I think they always put me as like, you know, this guy's better than this guy. So then the other guy's the one who gets the nomination. So you got a better chance of being nominated if you work with me, I think. But yeah,
it's very difficult as a Brit to get nominated because you just can't work there regularly enough.
I think that's true. You know, Martin Cox did a great job.
It's time to get known in the castle circuit.
You've got to do it a few times. And also, I think, you know, there's a little bit of, you know, you can talk to people and, you know, and if they see you there regularly, you're more at the forefront of the band. But, I mean, I don't work the castle because I want to get awarded anything. I work the castle because...
It's just fun.
You know, because I just love it.
See the friends and hang out.
Probably the nicest gig that I've ever done.
Yeah.
You know,
I wish I could afford to do it more often.
Yeah.
I love doing it annually, and it is a lot of fun because during the daytime you have time to run around and see and visit with other people, you know. In fact, I had a lot more people that are going to be posted later as part of my week because I went out, I talked with... Sarah Ballantyne, who was Carl Ballantyne's daughter.
Yeah.
Great stuff that she had to talk about her dad. And then I went to talk to Orson Bean. You know, I don't know, being the UK, if you guys know who Orson Bean was.
Yeah.
He was on Johnny Carson. Okay, never mind. Yeah. He was on a U.S. guy, an old guy. But he used to do magic also.
Yeah.
And a couple other people, too, that are coming up. It was a lot of fun. But yeah, I love working the castle. So you're going to work the castle, then you're heading back, then, John, after that?
Yeah, then I head back home on the Monday, I get up Tuesday, and then I'm doing a show in Denmark with Rune Klan and a few people.
Wow.
The following weekend, and just gigs and, you know, traveling around.
Did they talk to you about maybe working at their convention in Houston next year, the Texas Association of Magicians?
I am being asked to, but that would be fun.
Tell
them to mention my name.
I will. Got a little input there.
Yeah, his name is spelled K-E-I-T-H.
I only work with Keith Fields now.
Yeah. We're a partnership.
Yeah, we only work if we're booked together.
We need a guy running on a horse ahead of us going, the British are coming, the British are coming.
So Keith, I was going to ask you that you and I did a podcast some time ago with Bill Gladwell.
Did indeed, yeah.
And you'd left there a long time ago.
I've left there about 2.5-3 years ago,
several years ago. Boy, that's how long we've been doing the podcast. Wow, that's something. So have you been? Have you found a steady theater, or are you interested in doing that again?
We're more than anything else, we're starting to tour now. Sarah's now involved with me in the show, which is very new for me. As in less than 6 months, very new.
Okay.
And it's really exciting. We're having a lot of fun. Just working performance arts centres, small theatres around. And it's like all these things. You get into a new area, it starts off slowly. But we're already starting to see the bookings picking up and things beginning to start happening.
Good.
So it's really exciting. So, yeah, we're going to have a busy couple of years. And hopefully we'll be in a town near you soon.
Well, I hope that you come near Houston sometime.
Absolutely.
You know, our way then as well. So let me know when you're going to be coming our way then, too. In that regard, what was one of your highlights of this convention?
One of my highlights, or maybe rather a weird highlight, Ben Earl this afternoon, listening to him speak.
You're the second person who told me.
I think Ben Earl, he's an unknown genius.
I had not heard of him until now.
The thinking behind what he's saying is, to thinking magicians, it so resonates. You know, it's everything that we kind of know is right, and when he says it, he's put into words all this stuff. And
graphs as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, his technical work is outstanding. So, yeah, that was an amazing. So if you get a chance, folks, just go see Ben Earl.
Yeah, and when he was in the close-up show, it just fried me. You know, whenever that he borrowed a deck of cards, it could have been mine, or you know, right there.
Yeah.
And then he cut to the four aces. You know, he kept shuffling and cutting, and they just... It was amazing.
That
blew me
away. Phenomenal.
Yeah. And you kind of were behind the scenes a lot. What was it that you enjoyed when you did have a chance to see those things? What sticks out?
I enjoyed Ben Earl as well. I've enjoyed all of it. I mean, just you silly little things like Levent talking about 3D printing, you know, just things that you... nothing, in some ways, nothing to do with magic, but then you just realize how applicable it could be and how out of touch you are with certain things, and it makes you, it just makes you realize, you know what, I should find out what's going on about some stuff a bit more.
Right.
So, yeah, I love that. I'm trying to think what else.
Well, there was that comedy show that was excellent. Yeah, who was in that?
John Archer.
That's the guy. That was, well, you know.
That was a highlight.
You don't have to
highlight.
Go far to find someone that will say that was the highlight of the convention.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, thank you guys very much for your time. Thank you for your entertainment, John. It was fantastic. Thanks for your introductions, Keith.
It was a pleasure.
So for the Magic Word Podcast, we're going to walk around a little bit more. This is that was John Archer and Keith Fields. This is Scotty out. Right. Well, we're still wandering about during the parties. You can hear the music in the background and everything. And so now we finally get to once again talk with my favorite magician, and you guys know who he is by now, Ray Anderson. Hey there, Ray.
Hey, how's it going? Good to see you.
Fantastic. Did a good job today.
Oh, thank you.
So it was a surprise to you that, and an honor for Stan to have asked you to come, because you've been coming to all these.
Right.
And the reason you've been coming, you'd say, is because that you can't go to conventions on the weekends. Because you're working, so it's good that it's a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Right, yeah. It's kind of a continuation from the old Desert Magic Seminar in a way, which was the other one that I used to go to all the time and where I met so many great people. I did one year, only what I did was the Amazing Frank, just the cheesy magic character.
Yeah.
And Siegfried Roy were in the audience, and they thought I was making fun of them.
Oh, really?
And it was awful. Everybody hated it. But that was when I realized that I have to do Frank after they already know who I am, instead of just as a
separate. So you learned, kind of an important lesson, but the
wrong time,
in the wrong way.
Yes, I did. But that's okay. A life lesson is a life lesson. I'll take it
so
any way I can get
it. So you got to be good friends with him, I guess, after that?
Well, we actually made up years later when I told him that Frank is basically the guy that always copied them, that never quite made it to the strip that was playing, you know. They never made it to the big room, but basically copied what they were doing. And then they were okay with it after that. So,
So it wasn't a parody on them. You were trying to make
it was a parody of the guys that copy them.
Yeah,
exactly.
A parody of the copier.
I was just going to be one more copier and do it worse than anybody else.
Yeah. Well, for those who are listening and who weren't here, explain who the character, actually it's Frank, isn't it? Is it Frank or Frank?
Well, it depends on if he's Italian or Hispanic.
Okay.
It changes from year to year sometimes, depending on the music I use. Yeah.
But he's wearing black spandex, and go ahead.
Right, black spandex and an extra large appendage, as I like to call it. That's the word that I ended up using for this trip. And he's just that typical cheesy magician that kind of never made it to the big room. That's kind of how I describe him. And he's a very misogynistic and womanizing kind of guy.
Kind of leopard top that's
leopard
all the way to the
belly button. Spandex pants. Yeah. And kind of shows his wares for all to see. Yeah. A lot of gold chains and a big pompadour.
Yeah.
You know, with
thrusting
a little
of the hips
girl
and all that.
Front,
and what?
Right. A little spit girl right in front.
Spit girl,
coming right down
that's
the
right.
middle. Yeah.
What I think is kind of cool at Esther's Folly, they've actually got, it's not a mannequin, what would I say? It's a sculpture, I guess, of Frank.
Right, yeah. So there's three sculptures there. One is Shannon as Patsy Cline, her signature character. The other is Margaret Wiley, who has passed on now but used to do Chichi La Bamba. And then the third one is the Amazing Frank, and he's up there for the world to see. We tried having him down below, but when people were taking their picture with him, you know, we wanted like a photo op, so we had him down on the floor, but girls kept putting their gum on his... on his little Frank.
Yeah.
So we finally took him and all put him on top so they wouldn't get ruined. And he's made out of styrofoam and painted.
I'm surprised you wouldn't leave him down there because, you know, I'm thinking of, is it Caesar's or is there's one of the casinos in which there's like a brass sculpture out front and everybody rubs it for luck.
Yes, right. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So I thought they'd rub
Well, they were crack. Rubbing it for luck, no doubt about that, yeah.
So, again, it was, I'm sure, an honor for Stan to have asked you to come here.
It was.
Here, and so,
quite an honor and a little out of my comfort zone. I'm not one to, don't like to talk about myself too much. I like for people to come see the show and let my work kind of speak for me. But I'm certainly glad that he asked me, and it turned out to be a great experience. Magic Live is always a wonderful time.
And people can always go back to that last issue. I think that was kind of cool. And the very last 25th year in of it.
Yeah, the last article they did on me was in the very last issue of Magic Magazine. That also made me very proud. It was written by my dear friend Mark.
Mark Holstein.
Mark Holstein. So that made it doubly great for
me. Yeah, right.
Yeah, and, you know, just a real treat. Yeah.
Well, that was fun. Well, listen, thank you very much.
You're so welcome, Ray.
It's always fun.
We'll see you back in Texas.
Yes, we will. I'm going to come see the show until it finally closes.
That's right.
I'll be there.
We'll be around for a while.
Okay, all right.
Take care.
Until next time, that was Ray Anderson. This is Scotty Yell. Well, we're about to wrap up, and you see or hear now that we're out of the den of cacophony. And so we are here in a more silent room and wrapping up with the organizer, Stan Allen. Hey there, the man with the rabbit. The guy with the rabbit.
The guy with the rabbit.
TGWTR. There we go.
Okay.
And so we have come to the end of, this is the seventh?
Ninth
one, okay.
Nine lives.
That's right.
I'm done.
What we talked about. Huh? No, you're not done. You've already committed to next year, which is going to be on the 8th, 9th? What's the date?
I think it's the 5th through the 8th.
Okay, it's the first part.
It's in the program.
Now, how close to the to Colin's get-together is that going to be, or do you know?
I think it's real close. I think we follow right on their heels.
Okay, like we did last year, I guess.
I guess so.
Because last year, I remember that it was over Saturday, and then this came on Sunday. Okay,
I don't know.
Here to talk actually about the success of this one. I've had so many people who have said, when you talk to Stan next, tell him congratulations, did a great job. You know, everybody,
nice.
As we said earlier, that people are coming to see how you're going to walk on this tightrope, and you didn't fall. You know, I think everything went well, and also how you're going to follow up without having a magazine. Still had a lot of surprises, and the thing is, I think what was great, a lot of the highlights that people were mentioning were diverse. They weren't all the same thing. There were a lot of similar things, but mostly, of course, they're friends. It's good to see people from all over again.
Yeah, I really think that this group of people, not that you could do it, but you could put them all in a big hotel, not have any events, and they would probably still have a pretty good time.
Sure, just kind of sitting around and doing tricks for each other and
talking. I do think they enjoy each other a lot. I do. I go to conventions, and I enjoy the friends.
Right. So how did you feel that this went? I mean, when you kind of sit down and with Rory and the guys and say, what can we do different or what did we do right and wrong?
Yeah, I think it's too soon to really know because we'll get feedback from all of our registrants and everything, and we'll see what they think. We usually have a pretty good feel for it. And I developed that over the next couple of days. I think that it was good. I think that overall, people seem to be having a really good time.
They are.
And so
we are.
That's the bottom line. It's like entertaining.
Right.
You know, you don't have to do your tricks. They just have to have a good time.
Right.
So.
And you have more time to spend on the convention since you're not working with a magazine. Then there's really kind of, would you say, your sole focus?
It's pretty much probably about 80% of my time. Mm-hmm. So, and I think it'll be, it's going to be fun because I've never had a convention dates set this far out. So, which gives me a big advantage in that if someone can't do it in 2017, well, here's my dates for 18.
Yeah.
So there was a point about 5 months ago where I had more acts booked for 18 than I did for 17.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's funny. I want to ask you also about Eugene Berger, since that on the first night we had the license plate that was for him, Wise One, and was he going to be part of this? Was there something else which you had originally planned for him to do, and then after he died that he replaced?
Eugene was going to be in town to do a class at the
Mystery School,
McBride School, the few days before and then a few days afterwards.
Right.
So he was coming anyway. And so Eugene was going to help us with some hosting things and also play the game.
Okay.
The license plate game. Yeah.
Right.
So he,
he was going to be involved a little bit.
He was going to be involved a little bit, yes. But he called me about 3 or 4 weeks ago and said that he wasn't
going to be able to make it.
Anemic and that the doctors were watching him very closely. So, I mean, he didn't share more than that. He shared only that with his closest friends.
Yep.
And,
I understand.
Sad. Big
now,
loss.
As far as the convention, again, that this year, it did follow a similar format from the standpoint of having the way that we were split up in the general session, the focus sessions, and then something that was different, like last year we had the Richard Wiseman thing, and, and in previous years, something always that's a museum or whatever that's kind of out of the box. I know you don't know what you're going to do next year, and you wouldn't tell anybody anyhow until we get there. It's going to be a surprise, but my question is, this is a proven format, that even without the magazine, that this seems to work well. Do you envision the general format remaining intact?
Well, the general format will stay for next year because it's a logistics question.
That's right.
We have a theater with 800 people in it, And we have a hotel that we're a little bit big for, but they work really well with us. Mm-hmm. And so,
you got a good relationship going with them.
Very
sure.
good relationship going with them. And they bend over backwards to help us. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, the logistics, the numbers of moving 1,600 people through this hotel is a little complicated at times. And so we're sort of boxed into certain ways of doing things. Mm-hmm. And for 2019, it's our 10th anniversary, so we will do one more Magic Live, sort of box the way we box it. Mm-hmm. And then we'll start thinking about 2019, where we go somewhere else, how we go somewhere else.
No predictions.
No, I've learned. Every time I predict something, it bites me.
That's Comes why you're not a mentalist.
It bites me for sure. It doesn't matter. It's always the case.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I've seen you behind the scenes and doing everything. I mean, just we were talking about today, just picking up trash off the floor and everything. I mean, that the attention to detail and everything that you do and the people who are working with you, you know, Katie and all the staff that is helping, just helps keep things moving smoothly. That.
We have a new tagline, Magic Live, overthought for your enjoyment.
That's good. I don't think people can fully appreciate that. You know, it's just kind of like the swan going across so serenely across the pond, but it's paddling like hell underneath.
Yeah. So. And we, you know, as a producer of something like this, I get a lot more credit for certain things than I deserve. And then I don't get any credit at all for something else that I should have deserved. Yeah. But you just kind of say, hey, it all comes out. It all works out.
That's
great,
right.
Great team that believes in doing things better.
Yep. And you have done.
That's the goal. The goal is always just trying to find a better way to do something.
Good. Well, Tance, thank you again very much.
My pleasure.
Appreciate you putting us on behalf of the 1,600 registrants who were attending and for all of the rest who weren't there who are listening to the podcast. We all thank you very much for making these things available to us because we get to not only share enjoyment with each other, but also to have a learning experience and memorable things that just will last a lifetime. You know,
well, hopefully a few memories are made.
I think so.
And me, I'm going to go have a hamburger.
Good for you. Thanks again, Stan. So, for the Magic Word Podcast
I'm
and
leaving
Magic
now.
Live,
I'm leaving.
That was Stan Allen out. And Scotty too. So the ninth convention for Magic Live is now over, and I thought I might just give a few reflections of my own. I've talked with other people about what they thought, and so just a few honest reactions from me. First of all, yep, it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. Was as good as some of the others in the past. I would say that I've enjoyed some others. Well, first of all, I've enjoyed this equally well as I have all the others as far as getting a chance to see and talk with and visit with friends and have a drink, break some bread, and just enjoy their company and companionship and words. And so from that standpoint, that I like this convention. It was equal to every other one that we've attended. Now, as far as the quality of the shows, they were a little uneven, whereas I think in the past that I think they were hitting on every cylinder, but this time it seemed that there were a few things that, in my mind, that didn't have everything hit, at least for me. I enjoyed the sessions that I had gone to. A couple of them were not necessarily something I wanted to pursue, so I didn't finish. Spent about 15 minutes in there and had a chance then to leave because I could see that it wasn't really my cup of tea. And on the evening show, on the final night show, the highlight of the evening was the fellow who was a juggler, and I've forgotten his name right now, but the guy that was on the America's Got Talent was, you've heard them talk about him earlier. Victor King, he was really good. But really, the rest of the act, Steve Valentine did a fantastic job, not only as MC, but also the bits he did in between. They were very entertaining. But once again, like someone had said here as well earlier, that the jugglers are the ones who were outstanding. You know, the fella here who was the unusual America's Got Talent juggler, as well as the Passing Zone. Those guys were very entertaining. The rest of the acts were okay, not memorable necessarily. I love Alex Ramon, and he did a solid act, put in some, a couple of good illusions, and he's got a nice personality. The others were fine, but you know, I'm just kind of going by the standing ovation. Also, it was just the juggler who had gotten the standing ovation our show. There was one gentleman whose name escapes me, but he had a very unusual act, and he was a FISM performer. I don't know, or contestant. I don't know whether he was a winner or not. That was in this evening's show. It was very entertaining. It looked like the Pixar lamp, you know, the desk lamp that kind of moved around, was animated. He was at a desk, and he was interacting with it, and it was working fine. And then towards the end, he just had to cut it and walked off stage. It's like, what happened there? Something was supposed to work, and it didn't end up working. So it ended up that I was curious to know what the ending was supposed to be. So I had the first show, and I was anxious to talk with some people after the second show to find out what happened, and apparently he had similar difficulties. He didn't finish his act then either, so it must have been technically difficult. But the premise was good, and I guess it's one of those things that when it works, it's unbelievable, and when it doesn't, it was still entertaining, but it kind of felt like you're missing something, that obviously something had gone wrong there. And the other acts were, as I said, very good. And better than most convention shows. You know, let me just say that. I guess Stan has already set a high bar, so you're kind of expecting excellence. And I would say that not everything was excellent. It was good. As good as or better than most convention shows that I've seen. But again, there's a higher bar here that has already been set, and didn't quite reach that, in my opinion, for some of the shows. The fact they did something a little bit different this year, that is, instead of having a TED Talk, that they had the same people who were the hosts, that is, Jonathan Levitt and Julie Yang, all 3 days in the general sessions, were very entertaining, did a great job. I like the idea of actually having conversation where they did kind of a Q&A with the guests rather than someone standing there and giving a little talk. I enjoyed that, and the interaction that the two had with each other was very entertaining. It was kind of like watching a television show in a way, you know, kind of Entertainment Tonight or something, where that you've got a couple of hosts and they bring on guests or something. So they did a great job, and I kind of like that format, the way that worked out. So hopefully that might be something that they continue then as well. But to have to repeat something every year, I should say, to have to exceed and excel over what you did the previous year, it gets tougher and tougher when, again, you've already set a pretty high bar. So it gets tough. And I know people come to watch Stan to find out whether he's going to fall off the tightrope or not, and I don't think he did. I think that he kept hanging on, was doing fine this year. It was a good convention again overall. And I'm sure that he'll sell out then again next year, as well he should. I plan on being another one of the registrants, and I'm looking forward to coming back for another year. So I'm going to head up to bed. Well, first I'm going to put this podcast together, then I'm going to go to bed. Get up early tomorrow, and I've got to head to Southwest Airlines. Grab a Dunkin' Donuts and some coffee, and I'm on my way, winging my way then back to Houston. So I guess I'll see you then the next time. I've got a couple more weeks, I think, maybe or so, before of podcasts that I'm going to post before I head to Dallas. Actually, Frisco, which is north of Dallas, for the TAOM convention, which will be over Labor Day weekend. So that'll be August 31st through, I believe, it's September the 2nd. So I will be reporting daily updates from there as well. So that ought to be some more fun of seeing some other guys. So that's just kind of my opinion then as well, to kind of throw that in the hopper with everyone else's opinions you've heard as well. So until we see each other again, stay well, get booked, and keep magic live. This is Scotty out.